Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 12th, 2017. And with me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Hi.
Oh, we have a friendly fella with
us
today.
I'm a friendly fella.
Oh, I didn't realize it was Friendly Fellow Day, but now I do. So I'm even doubly excited that you're here, Brian.
To which I say, hi.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited that iMazing's our sponsor, and I hope they still are after today. I'm sure that they will be, but iMazing is our sponsor, and we'll be talking about that in just a bit. But first, even knowing that that Brian may conceivably stay in Friendly Fellow mode, Brian, you wrote a piece where you explained why it may not matter that Apple may not go with gigabit speeds for iPhones this year. And first, what does that mean? And then second, why should we care?
Well, we probably shouldn't care. Bloomberg reported that Apple is not going to be using Qualcomm's gigabit download modem chip for the next crop of iPhones. And this is a new chip. I don't even think it's hit the market in any capacity yet. And according to Bloomberg, the reporting was three reporters, including Mark Gurman, whom our listeners will know I have a lot of respect for. Part of the reason why Apple's not going to be using this chip is because it's essentially a single source component at this point, because Qualcomm is the only one with this chip. Intel's working on one, but doesn't have it out yet. Apple tends to like to only use components that it can source from at least two suppliers. And they do that for a couple reasons. One, to be able to play one supplier against another in terms of cost. And two, in case they have any kind of quality issue. And plus, you know, it's just smart supply chain logistics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I actually think there's an even more basic reason why Apple wouldn't do this. That reason being that this technology is half-baked. The chip might be in the process of existing, but the carriers aren't ready. Getting those speeds requires, as Bloomberg put it, quote, let me, if I'm in a lab-like achieving, I'm quoting here, achieving 1 gigabit speeds requires almost lab-like optimal signal conditions that seldom occur in the real world. In other words, it's not really gigabit download speeds, not in practice. Mm-hmm. And Apple doesn't tend to be first out of the gate with the new next generation of wireless platforms, in part because they don't work out of the gate. They never do. They haven't, you know, 3G didn't, 4G didn't, LTE didn't, whatever you want to call it. 5G, the so-called 5G, which is what this stuff is, isn't going to do it anymore. So, and so I think that even if Apple had two suppliers for gigabit download modems, that they wouldn't do it yet.
So why did Wall Street seem to go into meltdown mode over that news?
It didn't have anything to do with this chip. There were stories out there about that. That was just, there was a broader sell-off in the technology world. If Wall Street sold off Apple, because Apple is down, I think it's like 8% today over from its all-time high. Mm-hmm. If Apple was being sold off because of this, then that means that the companies that would benefit from being first to market, which would include Google, Samsung, HTC, whatever, because it's probably going to be a company that makes small runs of either, you know, lots of units like Samsung, lots mm-hmm. of different models, or even just a smaller company like HTC, LG, whatever. One of those companies will be first to market with this. They would theoretically benefit from it, and they would be pushed up. There was a broader tech sell-off, had nothing to do with this chip. Those stories infuriate me because they're rooted in ignorance.
Okay.
All right, so the reality is, there is a new technology that has been developed that will give us markedly faster data download speeds off of cellular networks.
Yes, but when it's ready.
Yeah, but it's not really ready to go yet. So the fact that Apple isn't implementing this doesn't really mean anything, because if they did, they wouldn't be able to take advantage of it anyhow.
Yeah, and I'm not being an Apple apologist on this. Apple has never been first to market with this stuff, and it apparently has not mattered so far. Why would it matter this time?
Exactly.
It would be lovely if we could get gigabit download speeds before everybody else. That would be fantastic, and it would be something to crow over, and it would be something that Apple fans could in fact make hay over. As it is, the Android fans, who will have devices first to market with this stuff, whether or not they work as advertised, right? They will have something to make hay over. They will be make hay about, I guess, whatever. Anyway, they'll be able to crow over it. Whatever. They'll be able to make all kinds of noise, and it still won't matter. The echo chamber might care. Apple haters might care. No one else will. It's not going to matter.
So this is, in essence, like when 3G phones are coming out and Apple was using Edge for the iPhone.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Apple's, when Apple's not doing 3G, they're going to get their butts handed to them. Oh, my God. The new iPhone doesn't include LTE. Boy, Apple's just, Apple's doomed.
Yeah. How many death knells have we had for the iPhone since it first came out?
60 some odd, 80 some odd that I've tracked.
Yeah. Okay.
So I forget the exact number. And do you remember? I would imagine many of our listeners that we haven't thought about this in so long that we've forgotten about it. But when Apple was not first out of the gate with LTE, we had months and months and months of stories about how Apple was going to get its butt handed to it because it wasn't supporting LTE. And then Apple came out with an LTE iPhone, and then those stories, everybody forgot about it. And it turns out Apple didn't collapse. iPhone sales didn't collapse during that time.
Now, do we have any idea how many carriers are offering any kind of support for the gigabit download speeds?
None yet. I mean, this is definitely later this year.
Okay. So
T-Mobile is trying to be first out of the gate. Verizon is working on it. I assume, and this is obviously all in the U.S. So for our international listeners, I don't know the state of markets outside the U.S. Everyone's working on it. Everyone wants to be first to market so that they can crow about it. And again, it's not even really going to matter to any of those networks either. It's like, there might be a little bit of push and shove, but, it's going to happen. And then it's going to happen, and then no one's going to care. It's going to become the new normal.
All right. Well, then I'm not going to – no, wait. Let me rephrase that. I will believe that gigabit data download speeds on cellular networks are established and reliable when Apple starts supporting it on the iPhone. How's that sound?
That's probably not far off. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's going to be awesome when this does happen. And it's going to be kind of annoying when competitors have it and Apple doesn't. It's just, it's not going to matter in the long run. It's it's going to be the exact same thing as with 3G and LTE and, whatever.
All right. Well, hey, we have a sponsor today. And that's
yay.
That sponsor is iMazing. And I'm very pleased that they are our sponsor, because the tools that they make, to me, it's like a no-brainer application, because what it does is it takes care of all the backup needs that you would have for your iOS devices. It takes care of letting you manage the content on your iOS devices. I mean, iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch. And it does it in an easy and intuitive way. And also the iMazing people, they're just really nice people. We got to chat with them at Worldwide Developer Conference last week for a little bit. And that was really cool, because they really are nice people. So I love that they've developed this system where backing up your iOS device can be really easy to do. And if you're doing, say, beta testing on, say, iOS 11, which is out for developers now, this would be a really handy tool to have, because iMazing is iOS 11 ready right now. So if you want to make sure that you have an easy backup to roll back to in the event that something goes wrong with your iOS 11 install, iMazing is a tool that you want to have. So go check it out. Go to their website, imazing.com/TDO. And when you go to that link, imazing.com/TDO, you're going to be able to download a free demo version. And the backup part continues to work even if you're not paying for the rest of the features. So you still have a backup thing. Also, there's the new version of iMazing, iMazing Mini, which is just that. It's your backup utility that you never have to pay for, which is kind of cool. But if you need all the features that iMazing gives you, and my guess is that you probably will want those, then buy it. Because that link I gave you, imazing.com/TDO, 20% off. And it doesn't matter if you're buying an individual license or a family license. It just works. And this is an app that you can run on your Mac. It's an app you can run on your Windows machine. So it doesn't matter what your favorite platform is for your computer. If you're running an iOS device with it, this is a tool you need. imazing.com/TDO. Get 20% off. Thank you, iMazing, for being our sponsor. Okay, so Jeff, I wanted you on the show today because you noted what I would consider a milestone anniversary for consumer technology over the weekend, and that's the digital camera.
Yeah.
So what's the deal here?
Well, the deal is, and honestly, I didn't know this until I found out that it was the 20th anniversary of the idea behind the camera phone. Which is that the first camera phone was a do-it-yourself Frankenstein's creation that brought together a Motorola StarTech flip phone, a Toshiba laptop, a Casio QV digital camera, and the speakerphone kit for the Motorola StarTech flip phone. This is 20 years ago, 1997, before we could plug in our cell phones and use them to connect our computers to the internet as any sort of a hotspot. And this guy, Philippe Kahn, created his own server architecture to share his photos with his friends and family. And in the course of 18 hours, while he waited for his wife to give birth, finally came up with a way to interface it with the computer and automatically upload those pictures and send out the notifications.
Okay, first, that's really cool that he figured out how to mash all of these different things together to actually get photographs and link them up with the digital phone and then share them. And but then the other side of that for me is it's a very brave man while his wife's in labor to be focusing on this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I said yesterday and I'll say it again, he's lucky to be alive because none of my ex-wives would have tolerated that sort of shenanigans.
No, but I'm sure that the family was happy because they were getting to see photos.
Oh yeah. He sent out notifications to some 2000 people when his daughter Sophie was born. And the beauty is, he didn't send that image 2,000 times. He had the first idea that later became the basic blueprint for instant photo sharing, whether it was through Facebook, Twitter, or any other mechanism. The photo gets saved on a server, notification of the photo gets sent out, and people choose to download the photo or not.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. So upload once, and everyone else uses their own bandwidth to download.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. So what size were these photos?
That I don't know. The Casio QV, I mean, this was a basic, probably a half megapixel.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, this was the first consumer-friendly digital camera. It was the first one to be successful and easily available. And that was why he chose it to work with.
That's really cool. Brian, you've been stunningly quiet. Are you cobbling together your own retro camera system?
No, I'm actually updating my Bitcoin faucet guide, but I was listening to
sorry Jeff, to bore you, Brian.
And I went, I read the story, and B, I think it's very interesting. And I'd like to point out that your story has that very first image.
Yes. Yes, it does.
So you can see it. You can see that image. You can see, I mean, like, that's kind of cool, right? I mean, there's so many things that have happened. Mm-hmm. In the history of computing or the internet, where you know, the thing that started it all is lost to the sands of time.
Yeah,
and we can actually. I was pretty touched to see that one.
Philippe has saved it for all of these years, and when he wrote his blog post commemorating the 20th anniversary of his daughter's birth and the birth of the camera phone, he included that image.
That's really cool.
It was really cool.
You know, I love that the birth of the camera phone started with the birth of his daughter. I mean, you know, what a beautiful thing. And then it grew and evolved to where camera phones have become a critical part of making sure that families stay in touch, that mm-hmm. friends have the memories they want, that political activities are logged for all to see, and natural disasters, people can see what's going on and share in what's happening. It's just amazing where this has led.
Even beyond that, you know, with some of the latest advances in iPhone photography, you don't need a digital SLR camera anymore. Because you can shoot in RAW mode straight from an iPhone 6S or iPhone 7.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good point. Yeah. So we've gone from what amounted to a desk full of hardware to send a stunningly low resolution image to what amounts to the technology for a DSLR camera in mm-hmm. our pocket.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'd also like to point out that the limitations of the time are part of what forced the innovation of upload once, download yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, because at the time, I mean, the StarTAC phone was only capable of transmitting data at 1200 baud.
Oh, man.
Which I don't know how many of our listeners remember the screech of a modem, but, you know, I got my start with 2400 baud modems. 1200 baud was painfully slow.
Wow. I started 300 baud. Good times.
Okay. Yeah. Fun times.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. All right. Well, we're pretty much out of time, so we need to wrap up. Jeff, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. Always good. And thanks to iMazing, right?
Well, yeah. Thanks
to iMazing. iMazing's amazing.
Yes, indeed they are. Head over to their website, iMazing.com/TDO. Get 20% off your copy of iMazing. And make sure you have all those backups that you need. iOS 11 ready already. That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
And listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.